The bad news? No. The terrible news? No. The absolutely ghastly news continues. Eskom is not effectively bankrupt, but it is very, very, very close to having no cash flow whatsoever. Chris Yelland of EE Publishers is on the line to us now. How bad is Eskom's financial position, Chris?
Well, look, it's not that they don't have cash flow. They do have cash flow, but the liquidity position is very poor at the moment and declining. So there is money coming in and there is money going out, but it seems like there's more money going out than coming in. And therefore, the liquidity position, which they try and keep above 20 billion rand at all time, in other words, to fund their normal operations of salaries, primary energy and maintenance and all that sort of stuff, their reserves, their liquidity reserves are dropping projected to be at the end of November 1.2 billion rand against the target they had planned to have 26 billion rand. So it's very much going into a position of bad liquidity, and that's putting a lot of stress, and they need to put in place measures to improve their liquidity.
So if they don't get any money from government, they will have no money left in a couple of months.
Not necessarily. What they are planning to do, and I can sort of see this in four steps. Step one, they want to slow down on capital spending of about 10 billion rand. So that means slowing down short-term capital projects like Medupi and Kusile. So they want to slow down on their spending.
Well, they could just abandon nuclear, Chris.
Okay, they haven't started spending big money on that yet. Maybe a little bit of money on consulting, etc. But we're talking about really short-term liquidity problems in the next month. Now, that's not affected by nuclear. Nuclear is a long-term build. But step one is to hold back on Medupi and Kusile and hold back on about 10 billion rand of capital expenditure. Step two is to approach the banks for some bridging finance. They refer to it in this report that has come to our attention as a bridge to bond financing facility from various banks. Now, what this really means is they had planned to go to the market with a bond issue this year, earlier this year, in fact. And that is the source of their problems, is that there is no appetite for these bonds, both locally and internationally.
That simply means is people don't want to lend the money.
That's right. The capital markets don't want to lend their money at this time. They've delayed the bond issuing till sometime next year when the appetite could be improved as a result of improved governance at Eskom. So in the meantime, they need to borrow some short-term money. Remember, bond finance is long-term debt. So what they're looking for is some bridging finance for that short period between now and next year sometime when they're going to do a bond issue. Okay, so but even that, the banks have indicated they don't really, they're not keen on it. They want to see some action in terms of governance, new board in place, new executive management in place, new chief financial officer, new CEO. And until they see this, they're holding back.
And then, I mean, if
first of all, they're going to slow down on capital spend. They're trying to get bridging finance. The next step would be to go to the shareholder and ask for an equity injection or a cash bailout. And in the longer term, and when I say longer, I use that term loosely because it's still quite short term, but let's say in 6 months, they're hoping that the new pricing structure will be in place with a 20% increase, which will help their liquidity. But that's only going to come in on the 1st of April, so they will probably only see the benefits of that price increase, sometime May, June. So we're talking, that's not a short-term solution. By short-term, I mean the immediate cash flow needs in December, January, February.
How guaranteed is it that they are going to get that 20% increase?
Not guaranteed at all. It could be that they get half of that. We don't know. There are public hearings taking place with NERSA at the moment, and NERSA has indicated that they will make a determination on, I think it is the 7th of December this year. So until then, I think Eskom is holding its breath to see what the regulator indicates. But the role of the regulator is to balance the needs of customers and the economy with the needs for financial sustainability of Eskom. And they do have to take into account Eskom's sustainability, you know, in their decision making. So certainly, you know, there's a lot of pressure, I'm sure, on NERSA, from including the Department of Finance to give them a healthy increase, because if they don't get it, the shareholders are going to have to stump up the money.
And if they do get it, it's going to accelerate the moves that people are making at individual and at company level to get themselves off the grid, to supply their own power, because Eskom power is just getting too expensive, and so the position worsens for Eskom.
That's exactly it. There is, in fact, indeed, a limit to how much you can simply put up the price. Before customers start looking for alternatives, before it damages the economy so much, that investment falls back and that productivity is affected, competitiveness is affected, and of course it affects theft and non-payment of electricity from the you know, not just from the poorest of the poor, but it puts a lot of incentives on all kinds of operations you know, to steal electricity.
Chris Yelland, it is a disturbing picture, but it's an important one to know about, of EE Publishers. Thank you very, very much indeed.